Frisco tames Talladega. Now he's headed to Phoenix with a shot at the title.
I was balling after I took the checkered.
It's last place for Chase Elliott at Talladega. He's headed to Martinsville needing a miracle. These are our top stories here on Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
In a bit of wordplay at Talladega Super Speedway, Chase Brisco finishes first, and he heads to Phoenix with a shot at the title. Chase Elliott finishes 40th. He heads to Martinsville in a must-win situation. We'll talk about those two things and everything else in between on this edition of Fast Talk. Hi, I'm Doug Rice, joined as always by Alexis Erickson, and in studio today with us, Kyle Petty. Alexis, a nice little tease headed to Martinsville. Maybe not the high level of chaos we usually expect at Talladega, but it felt satisfactory.
Yeah, I don't know. Ask some of the playoff drivers. I bet you they'll tell you there was enough chaos yesterday, at least centering around them for sure. I mean, look, we expect the big one. I don't know if we got the big one. There was one fairly large wreck, which took out Chase Elliott towards the first half of the race. And then I thought it was pretty tame.
Yeah.
And we talked about this in the break. You know, I think it's the fuel savings that's causing some of that. And Kyle's got a stat on that. But I mean, when you think about what they have to do to kind of slow themselves down and calm down to get this fuel savings in, that's going to help them get a shorter pit stop and, gain track position. I think that is, in a way, making these races a little more tame than what we're used to seeing.
And then, of course, Kyle, as usually happens at these super speedways, it all boils down to an overtime restart and two laps to decide it all.
Yes. For some reason, no matter what we do, it seems like we're going to have something. It just, the intensity rises towards the end. And when we have that one accident, that one spin, that one, somebody gets together and cuts a tire and the carcass is in the middle, whatever it may be, it's going to give us enough caution laps where we're going to go into that green, white checkered. We're going to go into that mode. And I agree with you, Alexis. When we look at, I think they just, we're in such fuel conservation. At one time yesterday, they were running almost 4 seconds slower than what they qualified, which is fascinating to me to go to Talladega and think we're going to slow it down. But they were running so slow is you're just riding. You're not trying to make a move. You're not trying to be aggressive. You're just, but we saw that a lot yesterday. I mean, at one time we had Cody Ware and I don't know. We had the guys that run 39th and 40th, they're leading the race.
I was about to put that out on Twitter. I thought, this is unusual. You don't see this a lot.
No, you don't. And I mean, they are pacing the race and they're out front. And it's like, how did they get up there? They get up there because when everybody else slows it down and backs it, they're not worried about saving fuel. So they go up there and have their moment in the sun and that moment of glory. And good for them. Good for them. I'm going to say that because they're not playing the same game everybody else is at that time. Good for them to force the issue.
But I think it's interesting, too, because it doesn't, as you're watching it, it doesn't give you a full picture of who is fast, who is going to be, you know, maybe there at the end, because the people that are and that have the really good balanced cars and all of that, are potentially riding around.
Here's the thing. When you go to Daytona, when you go to Talladega and Daytona, and you said it doesn't give you the picture of who is fast. That's because nobody is fast. and I say that because everybody runs the same speed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like watching geese fly, okay? And one will lead, and then he gets out of line, and he goes to the back, and he rests, and then he works his way back. And that's the way it is. It's like musical chairs. Who's going to lead? Who's going to lead? There's the checkered, and that's who won. You know, that's kind of the way it is sometimes. It's not the same type of racing that we had 20 and 30 years ago. None of this racing is. It's the racing that we have, but that doesn't mean everybody has to like it. Some people love this kind of racing. Some people love it. I'm not a huge fan of it because I don't think you control your own destiny. And if you listen to the TV broadcast, we had 6 wrecks yesterday or whatever we had, but according to TV, it was nobody's fault. You know what I mean? That's just racing. Everybody got caught up in it. It's got to be somebody's fault. Somebody spun somebody, somebody hit somebody, somebody did something. But that's kind of the approach and the attitude that a lot of these guys take. Well, it's just Talladega. It's nobody's fault.
Well, we have four races, I guess six if you count Echo Park Speedway, the artist formerly known as Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Yep.
That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And your fate lies with somebody else.
Somebody else.
The reason Chase Briscoe won the race is he got some big help from teammate we seldom hear of, Ty Gibbs. Let's hear from Chase right now.
When I was balling after I took the checker, just knowing the opportunity that I'm at least going to have, no matter how it comes out, obviously we're going to go there and try to win it, but I talk about it all the time. I mean, literally less than 10 years ago, I was sleeping on couches, and now I'm going to be 1-4 shot to win the championship. It's pretty unbelievable.
So there you go, Chase Briscoe. Got help from Ty Gibbs, Alexis. Usually when we talk about Ty, it has been to the negative. Mm. He played the perfect teammate.
Well, I mean, what was it, a few short weeks ago that
four.
We were four?
Four. Okay. 4 weeks ago. I looked it up. 4 weeks ago, he was the worst teammate known to NASCAR racing.
Kyle's done the math, thankfully, because I don't like math. But it was 4 weeks ago that, you know, him and Denny had their, their deal
at New Hampshire,
where it came out, you know, that everybody was saying, oh, well, Ty Gibbs needs to be more of an organizational guy, and he needs to do this, and he needs to do that. He needs to have awareness of who's around him and what's at stake. And I guess you could say he did that yesterday. Maybe he's listening. Yep. You know, maybe he's listening to all this chatter. I don't know. Doug's not sure.
No, I don't either. I don't believe he's listening. Okay. And this is, I'm telling you, this is what I believe if you go back and watch that last lap and watch the five card just kills all chances for William Byron and puts him in the worst position that he could be in. Right. You know what I mean? And that's not the five cars. Maybe it is their fault. I don't know. But they ran out of fuel. They put that inside line, which opened up that outside line. Ty Gibbs is making a move to get to the front. He just can't get there because the 19 car is in front of him. As he gets in 3 and 4 and comes off, he tries to go the outside, but somebody closes the door and keeps him in that lower lane. He could give a rat's rear end less about Chase Briscoe. He just got forced into that position to be the helper, and now we're praising him. But I'm telling you, if you could have been inside Ty Gibbs' head, he's thinking,
no,
I'm going to win this thing. I am going to win this thing. From eighth position on the last lap.
I'm not ready to exonerate him just yet. He's like me saying I'm going to go on a diet and I go one day without ice cream.
Yeah. That's right.
And, you know, the next day I'm right back with biscuits and gravy and ice cream again. So
yeah,
we'll see if he can stay away from ice cream. I would have known that these were the results from Talladega and or Daytona if it was not on the sheet that I've got in front of me. Because all these drivers finished in the top 10. Todd Gilliland, Ty Gibbs, Cole Custer, Carson Hocevar, Shane Smith, and Brad Keselowski. Am I wrong on that, Kyle?
No.
There's six names that we don't talk about almost ever in the top 10.
No, and you're exactly right. That we only talk about them, as you say, when we go here in Daytona.
Yep.
And possibly Atlanta, although I think Atlanta's an animal unto itself. It's totally different.
Right.
But as you look at it, that's when we talk about them, because the car and where you put yourself and how you run and what you do. I mean, we saw Zane Smith totally change the race yesterday when he started that third line up high and just eliminated that inside lane with Joey Logano and Ryan Blaney. Just took them out of the race. In one fell swoop, he made a move that took them out of the race. So, you can look at this and you're going to look at that and you're not going to say Coca-Cola World 600. Nope. You're not going to say that. You're not going to say the Rover.
Martinsville.
No, Martinsville. Yeah. You're not going to say that looking at that top 10.
I think this is the best friend of the underdog.
Oh,
Daytona
for sure.
And Talladega.
Yeah. But it always has been.
Yeah.
Talladega especially always has been. And you can go back to and Phil Parsons, Bobby Hillen, Ronnie Bouchard, Dick Brooks, or Richard Brickhouse. We can go back to the very, very beginning.
We just named four drivers that their only career win
came there. Yeah. That's right. And it was the, and because of that, because it's that type of place and the way it played out, it was always that way. You know, we talk about it today and we say anybody could win. Everybody felt that way in 1982. Everybody felt that way in 1999. You know, you always felt like you could go there, and if you couldn't run good anywhere else, you could go there and have a chance.
Which is why I think it's kind of interesting that people, you know, talk about this being in the final you know, round of the playoffs, or in the round of eight, if you will, and it being like this treacherous thing for the playoff drivers. And it is in a way, but it's also like a really good shot for somebody yeah. who is potentially below the line, or, you know, because I think that the playing field is as even as it's going to be.
Yeah. This is a race and that from the good side of the coin, just cut your throat. Or from the bad side of the coin, just cut your throat. At the same time, from the good side of the coin, it boosts you to a place, whether you're, especially in the championship. And you look at the playoffs right now, everybody lost below that line yesterday. Everybody lost. I think Byron was 15 under going into the race, and he was fifth. And now he's something like 36. I mean, he lost 21 points, and that's the least amount anyone lost. So it just cut your throat.
But that happened with 500 feet from the start finish line.
But I have said this for 1,000 years. Talladega, Daytona, and any road course is the worst place to be on the last lap when something happens, because you've got so many cars still in the lead lap. Mm-hmm. You can go from second to 32nd in one corner. And that's what we saw William Byron do. And we also saw the 12 car. Something happened to the 12 car yesterday, which is a mystery to me. He was up in the mid-pack, and then just coming out of turn four just disappeared.
Yeah, I think, and also you can mention Kyle Larson. You know, he ran out of gas and lost a ton of spots.
Yeah.
Ryan Blaney.
I was blank on Ryan Blaney. I said the 12 car, and I know that makes you mad. That's all I could think of. I was trying to think. But I always want to call him Dave Blaney anyhow, and that messes me up.
Yeah. I think the Penske, I mean, you could talk about, and I know we need to take a break, and we'll probably talk about it maybe in the next segment or further on the show, but there's a lot of people that had missed opportunities,
and
I think.
And we're going to talk about, is there a chink in the Penske Perfect armor? We'll do that next.
So you're a Toyota Cup driver, and you just made it to the playoffs. Now all you have to do is win. Easy. Just turn left, right? That, and start strong, take off, reach 200 miles per hour, maintain a good position, no big deal, lap again, time your pit stops, steer clear of accidents, talk to your crew chief like your best friend, and most importantly, turn left. Easy, right? You in? Get up to speed at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
This is Carson Hocevar, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. The opinions fly fast and furious each week on the Pit Reporters.
Every other major league sport has a playoff system, so I think the playoff system should stay. I do think there's maybe slight middle ground where there could be some changes that are made.
I do remember seasons where this championship had been decided well before the last few races, so it just isn't quite the same vibe that we have now.
Join us each week for the Pit Reporters.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk, a message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Talk PRN, the Performance Racing Network. Welcome to the show. We have Kyle Petty in the house, Alexis Erickson. I'm Doug Rice. Martinsville looms ahead, and then Phoenix, and then we're done for a while, and we'll be sad, but not for very long, because NASCAR doesn't take much of an offseason.
True.
Let's take a look. The last 3 years, we have had Team Penske with the championship. Blaney's got one. Joey Logano's got a couple. Kyle Petty. The odds are long right now that they make it four in a row. Joey Logano is minus 38 to the cut line. Blaney is minus 47.
Long.
Treacherous territory.
Yeah, long.
Non-existent.
Hey, listen, this is and at the same time, the lottery is $896 billion, and they can win. It's not going to happen. Yeah, you know what I mean?
No, it's not.
It is when you look at it, there is. I just don't see. They're not going to point their way in. Let me say that.
They
have got to be in a must win. You know, basically, you know, and we were talking about it, and I look at it and I say, if you want to be conservative and not go out on a limb and say anything, you say, okay, Bale and Larson are in a points race with each other because they're and you assume one guy's going to win, that one guy below that line's going to win. I can't assume one guy below that line's going to win the way that they have run, the way that I've seen. Blaney has had speed at different times. Joey has not had speed all year. No. Maybe once or twice has he had speed, anything to do. We look at Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott has been, I know you want to say he's been consistent, but he's been consistently at 9th or 10th. You know what I mean? When he put together all those top 20, that run of top 20 finishes, that's a new stat that,
that clearly doesn't annoy Kyle at all.
I think they're building the monument for that right now.
When they put that stat together, that's what it should be, a stat of consistency, but consistency mediocre, mm-hmm. not consistency running up front and winning. So I just look, Byron's the only one under there that I think has some speed that could do something. And he's honestly the only one that I would give any hope going there.
Now, does the fact that Ryan Blaney has won the October race 2 years in a row and just had the most success on the most recent flat track in New Hampshire,
so that goes
hold any weight with you at all whatsoever?
No. It's almost a mark against him.
Oh.
So you're telling me he's going to come back and win three in a row with his back against the wall. You know what I mean? And I just don't see that happening. I've seen a lot of really great drivers like a Darrell Waltrip, like a Cale Yarborough, like guys like that who just went in and dominated Bristol or dominated Martinsville and did stuff like that. I just don't see that.
Yeah.
And from this team right now. And I'm not saying Blaney can't. I'm not saying that Blaney can't as a driver. But what I am saying is this team, meaning the Penske organization, just hadn't had the speed and hadn't had what they needed to do what they needed to do this year.
I think I agree with you to a certain extent. I think Joey Logano, unfortunately, it's not his year. Look, it's not an even number year.
It's not an even number year. That's right.
It's it's probably not going to happen for him. But I do still think, and I do, I think there's something to be said for Penske's flat track success and Blaney specifically at Martinsville. I think if anybody has a shot, it's Blaney to win from below the cut. That's my opinion.
Okay, well, I'm not on Next Money, but if he wins, I want you to call me.
Okay, Will.
Okay, and let me eat crow. Let me eat crow in public, okay?
Happily, I will do that, sure.
Please call me so that we can discuss.
I'm going to side with Alexis a little bit here.
Oh,
I'll give Blaney the benefit of a doubt. I don't think he'll win it because I don't think they've been consistently fast, to your point, Kyle, all season long. We try to build them up.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. And they're fast. And they're not. And I don't know. I mean, I'll give them a shot because they have won the last two fall races.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that means anything this year.
I will say this, too. And I do understand what you're saying. But the way I've looked at this playoff and the way I've looked at these last 10 races, or the last four or five races leading up to this point with only a couple to go. Toyota has won the most races, led the most laps, been the most dominant, put themselves in position to win more than any other manufacturer. And one team has done that, Gibbs. And right now he has three cars above that cut line. The Gibbs organization and Toyota has three cars. 75% of the field going to the playoffs may be a Gibbs car. I don't see Penske or Hendrick or anybody really breaking that juggernaut that right and jumping in and jumping up there. And because you're going to have to go, I think to win Martinsville, you're going to have to go through Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, and Chase Briscoe, because I think they're going to come loaded for bear to play defense to keep you from winning a race. Yeah. And keep you out of. They don't want a Penske car in Phoenix. That's their worst nightmare, is to have a Penske car come to Phoenix. So they're going to play defense, and they're going to play it good, I believe.
We'll chat about Joe Gibbs Racing and their shot to take the title away from Team Penske next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
This is Josh Berry, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Now for our Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo Racing information, visit TGRNA.com. I didn't forget the .com.
Good job.
That's good.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I get graded on the curve
around
here.
It's that WWW thing. That's what
I know. HTTP ///
My dad used to say, yeah, it's on that WWW thing. Just check it out.
There's a lot of stuff out
there. The World Wide Web.
On the WWW thing. Chase Briscoe won at Talladega, so that was good for Toyota. Ty Gibbs is third. Bubba Wallace fourth. Seventh was Tyler Reddick, and Christopher Bell was eighth. So five of the top 10 finishers were from the Toyota camp. John Hunter Nemechek came home 14th, 24th to Denny Hamlin. Riley Herbst was 32nd. He actually ran up front a little bit the other day. And Eric Jones finished 35th in the Dollar Tree Toyota. That's brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo Racing information, visit TGRNA.com. When we left off, we were talking about Joe Gibbs Racing. And Kyle, you were making a point. It feels, as we are here pre-Martinsville, pretty close to a lock that he's going to have three of the four in the championship.
Yeah, it feels that way to me. Because I think when we look at Denny, obviously already in Phoenix, we look at Chase already in Phoenix, and we look at Christopher Bell. Martinsville, you know, Christopher Bell was right there last year. You know, he was just, remember after the race, it was an ISO on Christopher Bell and an ISO on William Byron.
For like 20 minutes.
I know. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, but this year they have proven all year long that they were capable of running for a championship and being there. And I think they've put themselves in position. I think they're comfortable. I won't say comfortable, but I think they're, what are they, 37 to the good? I think they're, that's, If they have a good first segment, they're in. That's the way I look at it.
So I think there's going to be two kind of interesting things from a playoffs perspective to watch in Martinsville. And obviously the first one is, can somebody in the bottom four win the race to put themselves in and move the cut line? Now, if that were to happen, Christopher Bell is plus 37 and Kyle Larson is plus 36. Only 1 point separates them. So Christopher Bell and Kyle Larson are going to be very aware of where each other are on the racetrack all day long, just in case. Because I think if you don't have a winner from below the cut line, then, you know, it would have to be a miracle scenario or a really disastrous day from either Larson or Bell for somebody to make their way from the bottom up. So if somebody from the bottom four win their way in, it'll be very interesting to see how Christopher Bell and Kyle Larson's race against each other all day went, because that will decide who gets the final spot.
But you had, think about it this way. Even if Christopher Bell or the five of Larson has a Chase Elliott type day,
right,
from yesterday, these guys still got to go score stage points, and they're 36 behind.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They are 36. They are only, I mean, that would be like, they were only four positions ahead of where Chase finished. So it is catastrophic. You can take those things, and they those days mess up everything. But you're right. I think when you look at Larson and Bell, they're going to go in and they're going to shadow each other all week long. And I'm telling you, we are going to know more about how the weekend's going to play off once we get that sheet from qualifying and you see where everybody qualifies. Because qualifying at Martinsville is critical
important
for track position, but it's critical for that pit road, because that is a strange pit road where you enter and pit in the corners. And we've seen guys be penalized so many times for speeding in the corners there and at Bristol and places like that. Pit road is going to be a play into this somewhere.
Looking at the drivers below the cut line, Logano at minus 38, Chase Elliott minus 63. For me, neither one of these teams, with the body of work they've done this year, feel like they're worthy of being in the final eight. And maybe I'm overstating this. Chase Elliott has won two races to his credit. Good, and especially the Kansas win, coming from 10th to do that. The other races this year, he's been there. And I feel the same for Joey Logano. All we've talked about this year is they don't have speed, even though I don't like saying that. They don't have speed. They're not a threat every week when you go to the racetrack. And I think they should be applauded with kind of lack of performance for getting this far in some way.
Yeah, they're overachievers. They overachieved to get to the eight.
Yes.
Okay. But I think that also speaks volumes to say, honestly, as we look at it, I don't think there's been anybody really eliminated that was much better than they are. You know what I'm saying? So I think that speaks volumes back to the Toyota camp, back to Joe Gibbs Racing, and back to what they've done to dominate the season and to win as many races as they've won. They have kept this year where there's only been five or six really good teams, five or six guys that really felt like they could win week in and week out. Everybody else could win sometimes, but we're down to back to Byron, and that's about as far as you go.
Who are those five or six teams, Alexis?
Well, I was going to say the only driver that has been eliminated that you could potentially make an argument for is SVG, because he has five wins on the season. Now, his other resume at the other tracks that aren't road courses is getting better, but certainly the first half of the year was dismal at best. But five wins, you could make the argument for him. But I agree pretty much wholeheartedly with you, Kyle, because when you look at where we are now, I don't think there's anybody that you could say, oh, well, you know, this format, because a lot of people like to talk about the format, this format has eliminated this person too soon and they should still be in it. I don't really feel that way.
No, I don't either. I think there's been flashes of brilliance from Bubba, and obviously SVG with his five wins on the road courses, but they're offset by 25th and 28th and 30th place finishes on ovals early on. You look at Tyler Reddick, nothing spectacular this year. Ross Chastain, nothing spectacular this year. said Cedric the Entertainer, nothing spectacular this year.
You know what
I mean? They had moments, but these guys that we're talking about, when you talk about Briscoe and you talk about Bale and you talk about Hamlin and you talk about some of these, and listen, Larson disappeared the middle part of the year. Let's be honest about that too. And so has Byron. So really those top three that we're talking about are the stars that have been here week in and week out all year.
Quick review of the people that are have no shot. They've already been eliminated. Bubba Wallace, one win. Tyler Reddick, zero wins. Shane Van Gisbergen, a bit of an anomaly.
Yes.
He's won five races, strictly road courses. Ross Chastain, one win, Coca-Cola 600. Nice one, but one. Austin Dillon, one win, Richmond. Alex Bowman, no wins?
Yeah, I don't think he's won
this
year.
Zero wins. Even though he has a lot of allies.
Yeah.
Josh Berry.
Ooh, well played.
Thank you.
Well played.
Josh Berry won at Las Vegas.
Yes.
He kind of crapped out the rest of the year.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
I did.
Vegas.
I did.
Crapped
out. Well played. You're on it today. You were on it.
And to your point, Cindric the Entertainer, one win.
That's it.
And that's it. None of those teams, asterisk besides Shane Van Gisbergen, did anything to advance any further than where they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think what we're seeing, and I know, you know, there are so many people that can make so many arguments about the format and how things are. And it looks like, you know, potentially we'll see a change in that for 2026, still TBD. But when I look at just what is on paper in front of me right now, I feel like it's right.
Yeah.
As far as who's in and who's not.
Yeah. When you look at wins, when you look at laps led, when you look at top five finishes, top 10 finishes, again, these three drivers have dominated the season as a whole. As a whole, they have been there week in. I mean, Briscoe went on a tear there where he won poles 5 or 6 weeks
in
a row.
Seven, I think. He has seven
just
on the season.
Crazy, man. Yeah. Just crazy. So, I just, you look at him and you think, okay, the champion should come from those three guys. Honestly, if the champion comes, and I'm moving Larson out just because he got lost in the middle of the season. But as I look at it, if you look at the season as a whole against any system you want to run, these three guys are the guys. Which, I'll say this, makes Denny Hamlin's chances look a lot better that he's only racing his teammates for a championship.
No, you're right. Well, I mean, I think if you can keep the Penske cars out if you keep it the way it is now, or potentially a William Byron, you know, swaps with Larson or something along those lines, I think this is Denny Hamlin's best chance.
And he knows that.
Yeah.
He knows that. Even though he tried his best to keep Joey Logano single-handedly in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yes.
Way to go, Denny.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a timeout. Who's left? We'll chat about that next.
Let's talk about your health insurance. There are a lot of reasons why people need affordable health insurance. But here's the bottom line. You know you need affordable health insurance. For you, a spouse, a family member, whatever. I'm going to give you a free hotline to call to find affordable health insurance that can cover all your health insurance needs in case you get sick or have an emergency, plus cover vision, dental, and more. And there are no long-term commitments. You can keep your plan as long as it's affordable. And for the price of a cup of coffee, we're not talking about one of those fancy coffees. For the price of a regular cup of coffee a day, you can have quality, affordable health insurance. Call the health insurance hotline for a free quote.
800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. That's 800-275-7851.
This is Brad Keselowski, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
No one's paying me to say this, but you've been our lifeline. We have no internet. We have no TV. We barely have cell service. I don't know how I'm able to get to you. My Wi-Fi is not working. And I have a radio, and I finally got power on, and I have it plugged in, and I could hear you. You're the only station I can get in.
Wow. Well, I'm glad we're here. So, wow.
The report that we got was that a severe tornado was heading right toward us. And I just want to commend you gentlemen for the job that you're doing, for keeping us informed.
I just wanted to say thank you for being on the radio and guiding us to, you know, where we can get help.
I just want to tell you, the first thing I heard was your voices the next morning. Oh, shoot.
and it made me cry. The comfort of hearing your voices.
My respiration, perspiration, and aggravation are sky high, but you guys have been the guiding light.
Your local AM station makes a difference.
Just two races remain. We've got Martinsville this coming weekend to decide the final two spots for the NASCAR Championship of the Cup Series. And then it's off to Phoenix next year at this time. We'll be talking about racing back down at Miami Homestead. Step in the right direction. I, in my humble opinion.
I agree. Like that.
Alexis, I'll start with you. We've talked about all the front-running teams. We talked about all the teams that made the playoffs. Is there a team out there that next year can be at least included in the top 16 conversation that we didn't talk about this year, or are they doomed between that stage of light and dark?
That's I think this is a really tough question because you posed it to us in the break, and I've been thinking about it for a few minutes. And now, do you mean team, driver, team, or do you mean organization? Because I you know, I could go at it from a couple.
Which would you prefer to answer?
Well, I mean, I could go at it from a couple different angles. Like, I feel like when you think of, like, superlatives, right, like most improved or whatever, you know, potentially over last year, I look at someone like a Legacy Motor Club, who I think their alliance with Toyota has propelled them, you know, to have a better season than they did the last year. And is that trend going to continue? I think you could look at that and say that that partnership with Toyota has really helped that team and potentially will continue to help that team. You know, I think you could talk about potentially an Alex Bowman who you know, I think could be, I don't know. It's very difficult because I think about Alex and I think about the team that he runs for, and I think about Hendrick Motorsports, and I think about how when you run for that team, you know, you should be considered elite. But sometimes I don't think about him that way.
So, he's not.
He's, yeah.
He's not. That's
he's
right.
He's not elite.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and that is not a dig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson are elite drivers.
Yeah.
They've
right.
won championships. They've won a boatload of races.
Yeah.
Alex Bowman is not in that category.
No. Yeah.
No, and he's not going to be in that category. He's been here too long to be in that category now. It's not. There's not going to be a switch that flips. And Alex's problem is that and I'm going to say this, Alex's problem is the same as Ty Gibbs. They're on teams with elite drivers that make them look
sure.
even worse than what they
– Yeah.
That they're not that bad a race car driver.
The juxtaposition is not good
but when
for
you,
them.
When
yeah.
you compare his stats to Denny Hamlin's and to Christopher Bale's and some of the – or you compare Alex's to Kyle Larson's and to some of these others. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get up on the grassy knoll here.
I love it.
And go this. From an organizational standpoint, here's what I think. I think we can look at the Legacies and the RFKs and the track houses, and Spire and RCR. We can look at all these teams, okay? And Chevy has one team, and it's called Hendrick. Ford has one team, and it's called Penske. Toyota has one team, and it's called JGR. And my point is this: if you're not on those teams, then you're on a B-level team. You're on a second-tier team, and that's not Richard Childress's fault. That's not Justin Mark's fault. That's not these teams' fault. That's the hierarchy of how manufacturers control the sport at this given time. So when you see a team step up like RFK and you see them maximize what they have, I look at it and I think, oh my God, think about what if they had the Penske stuff. Think about what if they had the A-level stuff week in and week out. If they had that access to everything, what they could be. I think the potential's there for an RFK. I think the potential's there for a track house. I think the potential's there for all these teams. I think the barrier is they can't bust through, and they're not going to replace Hendrick at Chevy. They're not going to replace Toyota or Gibbs at Toyota, and they're not going to replace Roger at Ford. And until that day happens when one of them does replace them, then they're just going to be what they are. They're going to be one win, two wins, five wins on a road course. I'll give that to track house, five wins on it. They found a way to overcome that. but they're just not going to get to that point, I don't believe.
But I'm looking at some of the teams now, and I'm just doing this kind of riffing. Trackhouse, take away.
Yeah.
Shane Van Gisbergen, one win this year.
Yeah.
Ross Chastain, Legacy, no wins. Front Row, no wins.
Yeah.
RFK, maybe considered the best of the...
The best of the rest.
Well, maybe 23-11's
yeah.
in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, 23-11.
But they got one
yeah.
win.
Yeah.
That's not much.
No.
The power is going to stay yeah. with all of these yeah. power teams until fundamental changes are made. And to Kyle's point, Alexis, I don't see that happening. They're not going to be in the pipeline from these manufacturers for all the goodies that come with that.
Yeah. We go, and I'll say this, we go back to the very beginning of the next gen car. That's as close as we were ever going to be because everybody was working off a blank sheet of paper. The manufacturers didn't know what the car was, the teams didn't know what the car was. And if you remember during that time, we saw some of the smaller teams rise up and have chances at winning races and going head to head. We saw Spire doing it. We saw Front Row doing it. We saw the Legacies and teams like that going head to head with the big teams. But once you let the big teams get a couple of strides on you, you just don't catch up in a race. You're not going to catch back up.
And I know certainly it wouldn't happen immediately, but that's the case for, you know, bringing in another manufacturer or, yeah. or multiple manufacturers, sure. right? Because, you know, okay, so you have Dodge that's coming into the Truck Series to eventually work their way up to the Cup Series. And when they get to the Cup Series and they choose who their teams, their front-running team is going to be, surely there'll be a learning curve and it will take them some time. But you suspect that whoever that team is would then maybe be able to compete in yeah. a few years' time with the Hendricks and the Gibbs. And the, so this is an argument yeah. for bringing in more manufacturers.
More manufacturers. That's yeah. exactly right. It is the argument. It is not a argument. It is the argument for bringing in more manufacturers because what we have now with the next-gen car is a car that I'm rattling a piece of paper here if you can hear it, is the NASCAR goes to the manufacturer and says, here's the NASCAR engine that we want Dodge to build. Mm-hmm. They show you the block specs. They show you the head specs, just like Toyota, just like Chevy, just like Ford has. We're going to put you in the ball game with this engine if you do it right. And we know what the body is. It's a bolt together model car. We just bolt it together and we go to the racetrack. That's what it is. So they've already caught up there. So Dodge should be able to hit the ground running. It's going to take the team while to acclimate themselves to what the power band is and what everything is, but they should be able to hit
and,
the ground.
And people,
ground
hiring the right yes, people, right, making sure they have the right people.
But yeah. you're right, Kyle. This is not like when Dodge came in with Ray Evernham.
Totally different.
Starting all over from scratch.
This is not from scratch.
90% of the work is done.
Yeah.
And I'm rounding that off. But
yeah, you're right. There's a blueprint for it.
Yeah. For sure.
Like you said, here's this car. Build it like we tell you to, and you can race it, and you can put a Dodge decal on it.
Yes.
Yeah. Are they going to let them run the Hemi?
You know what? I don't know. Listen, you know as well as I do that everything is, they can call a four-cylinder Hemi if they want to. It's all about marketing and magic and smoke and mirrors, so I don't know what they're going to call any of it. But they've got to stay within the realm of what the Ford engine, the Chevy engine, and the Toyota engine is right now. They've got to stay in that box.
Well, I'd be curious to see. I think this offseason is going – we are not going to lack for material on the show.
Certainly not.
I sense more technical rule changes coming, not just the handful of tracks where NASCAR is going to allow them a fistful of horsepower or more, and the revamp of whatever they do to the point system. I will only say this about that. Careful what you wish for.
Yep.
Fact.
Careful what you wish for. I'm not opposed to us sitting here talking about we're two races to go and there's four drivers with a shot at the title.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be the four most deserving drivers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm embracing the win one and you win it all concept. But I do think up until this point, this is distilled down to be the four best drivers that are probably going to go at it, no matter who that fourth driver is. And to be honest, the people that are above the cut line are going to be running for the title. The other four are going to be standing by the side of the road.
True, man.
True that. All right, we've got to take a time out. Green flag, black flag, next.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. and the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes Camp Fun Beyond Our Gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
By downloading the free PRN mobile app, you can listen to all of our live race broadcast anywhere. You'll also have easy access to all of our award-winning studio shows. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app.
This is Ryan Preece, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Logano back across the stripe. Now Zane Smith putting on some pressure.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a candidate turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs. Which way is it going to go?
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Looks like Austin Cindric is involved. Denny Hamlin. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start finish line.
Chase Elliott has battled at the front all night long. He's won the war. Chase Elliott has just punched his ticket to the playoff.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
This is PRN.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. By the way, a couple of shout-outs here. Was out in Vegas working the public address system, and I got to be out there for Mark Garrow's last race on PRN. He got to call a fairly exciting finish there. So, Mark, it was a pleasure working with you all those years, bud. Take care and don't be a stranger. And Brad Gilley, one of the newest co-anchors, worked with the Motor Racing Network this past weekend at Talladega.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's going to get to do the Phoenix Championship race, too, with MRN.
They had him on infield care center duty.
Oh, did they?
Did you really?
Like he's a newbie.
And like, you go down here.
I love that.
And he didn't get as much action as I thought he would.
Yeah.
You generally think
that's true.
They'll give you the care center here, and that's all you're going to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the toughest job ever.
Oh, yeah.
To have to interview a guy that just dropped out of the race. And there's really only one thing you can ask. What happened?
Yeah. How are you?
I don't know.
How do you feel?
Well, you look
okay.
All your body parts are intact.
Right.
What happened? I don't know. I didn't see a thing.
Yeah. And that's what they all say. I haven't seen the replay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the replay. You know, my spotter didn't tell me. I haven't seen the replay.
I don't know.
Can somebody decide to put a replay booth in
right in
every care center so we can just get
They just need the replay on the camera in the car where they got the backup cameras. They need to just instantly say, okay, this is what just happened to you.
Well, we've got that for you.
Yeah.
It's right here.
Right.
All right, let's do this.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All right.
This is where we get an idea of the real brain power of the panel here today.
This won't take
long. Yikes. This is it. We're going to run by them some very carefully prepared statements. Our panel will think them over. If they agree with the statement, they give it a green flag. If they disagree, it gets...
You know what? Every time I hear this, it brings back bad memories. Remember when he called me a poser?
He did. Didn't
I mean, I just can't get that out of my head.
He misunderstood.
I cannot get that out of my head.
I didn't misunderstand the thing.
Anyway, if they all agree. The sound of agreement right there. Let's go to Alexis Erickson first of all. JGR is going to have a 75% chance of winning this here championship.
Yeah, I'm going to say green flag on that. I think, obviously they're 1-2-3 right now in the way things sit. And it would have to be quite a big shakeup for Christopher Bell to fall out. I think they are. And I think that's going to be their best shot that they've had in quite a long time.
All right, Kyle Petty.
So I'm going to say red flag, because even if they only got three cars, I think they have 100% chance. I'm gonna say green flag. I'll say green flag on that. I say green flag.
That math ain't mathin', Kyle.
I'm sorry.
Doug Rice?
Green flag,
There, whoa, we went through them all.
Oh, there we go.
All righty, we got that one out of the way. Let's go to Kyle Petty on this one. A remaining playoff driver will win at Martinsville. A remaining playoff driver.
Yeah. Green flag. I think they have to at this point. I think they have to win at Martinsville more so than they have to win at Phoenix, honestly.
All right, Doug?
Absolutely, yeah. One of the six or maybe two guys that are already in are going to win at Martinsville. No, not an outsider. Mm.
All right, Alexis Erickson.
Yeah, I hate to agree with these guys so much, but yeah. I'm going to say green flag.
Yeah. Wait a minute, let's examine that. Why do you hate to agree with these guys
well,
so much?
Well, think about it for a second.
That hurts.
What does that mean?
I don't know. That hurts.
I think it means you're a poser again.
I'm a poser again.
That is hate speech right there.
Oh, wow, look at that. From the cheap seats, David Styles.
Thank you,
Doug. All right, let's move on. Thank you.
Who's left on this one? I don't remember.
Hurry up, because the fire alarm's going.
I know. Fire alarm? What is that?
It's a strobe light
of some kind designed to hypnotize.
We're going to start a rave.
You better work hard this week. Let's go to where are we?
I don't know.
Doug Rice.
You're Doug Rice.
Yes.
What? Martinsville will produce another one of those Hail Melon caliber moments this weekend.
Well, nothing will ever equal Hail Melon.
Nothing.
But I can see Martinsville giving us some fireworks toward the end if you've got two people up there fighting for this last spot. But you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm black flagging that. No. Somebody's going to win by 3 seconds.
Oh.
I agree. I think I'm giving that a black flag. And I think there's been so much talk recently about race manipulation and all of these things. We'll never see another Ross Chastain Hail Melon type thing. And I think the drivers are, they're a little spooked to do anything kind of like that because they don't want to be thrown out. So I'm going to say, I'm going to say black flag
all
on
right,
that.
Kyle.
Yeah, I'm going to say black flag too. I think the Hail Melon, the Jeff Gordon miracle at Martinsville when he won, Joey and Truex coming to the line. I think that one of these teams, they've got to go out there, and this is a race they've got to win, and they're going to win in a dominant fashion.
Okay.
So, is that it? Is that all
I
we
think
got?
We're done
is
here,
that
Doug.
All what I, the brain I, trust that, gave that, us this
my
week?
Gosh, that's
man.
All we got.
All right.
Man,
well,
you almost slept through Talladega yesterday, man. didn't think about much.
It was not the most Talladega.
No. Was not very,
was it?
I don't think it was.
Not very
no.
Talladega-esque. No,
well,
it was not.
Well, six cautions, two of which were...
Yeah.
And then there was the caution for Shane Van Gisbergen getting stuck in the grass.
Yeah.
Well, that was an interesting situation, too,
Tell
with the
me
water.
About it.
That spin was fantastic, though.
Yeah.
Because because he got sideways, just barely got in the back of Christopher Bell. But if you really watch the cars behind him, they never check up, man. They're still coming. He's still sliding at pit road speed, and they're still coming at pit road speed.
I thought that was interesting, too. He slides off and gets in the grass, and I'm sitting there. I'm thinking, okay, instantaneous yellow.
Yeah.
And it was a while.
Yeah,
now,
it was
now
a while.
That may have not been anybody else on the racetrack
right.
coming around.
Yeah.
I'm sure NASCAR looked at that and said, okay, we got 3/4 of the racetrack clear. Yeah. But, yeah, why was there water?
I don't know. That was interesting to me that there was, and I mean, when they showed the, because I didn't notice it, before they had mentioned it or before Shane had talked about it on his radio of how he spun. But when they showed it, it was clear as day.
Yeah.
He his rear tires hit the water and he went.
They did not have a leaf blower out there to clean
then,
that up?
Well, I mean, weepers, we always hear about all that stuff, weepers. But, they show this wide shot and there's a ton of water at pit road entry.
Yeah.
To me, it felt like.
Well, I'll give you there was water. I'm not going to give you there was a ton.
I felt like there was.
I'm going to give you one. So I'm going to give you. I'm going to counter yours a little bit here. There was water.
There was water.
How many cars were in the field? 40 cars.
Yes, only one spun.
40
okay,
cars.
Okay, fine.
40 cars pitted four times. So that's 160 cars that came down pit road and one spun.
Yeah.
And he wants to blame it on water.
Well,
okay, the sun was in my eyes and the dog ate my homework.
Did
I'm
you
sorry.
Watch the replay?
I did see it.
And
but
he,
what,
tell
but
me whether
here's what
or not,
I say.
Did the water?
Yeah, I think the water probably had part. But
okay.
Here's what I say, too. I think Shane is so good on braking. We saw him here at the Roval.
Yeah.
That's where he makes up all his time. That if you watch him come down pit road, he's going to make up some time coming into pits. He is a pit road entering maniac, okay, because he can run it around and brake. These tires are as hard as this desk that we're sitting here on. They're not short track tires. I'm sorry, I'm beating on the desk here. Dang, man. A poser and I'm beating on the desk. But you know what I'm saying? I think it was a combination of a lot of different things. Perfect storm. There was some water on the racetrack. He's over braking. Tires are hard. Everything happens. But I thought it was fantastic. He got that thing absolutely sideways.
Yeah, he did.
Absolutely sideways. And didn't. And nobody ran into him. Yeah. And he didn't run into anybody. And yeah, there's a caution. And 15 laps later, he's running ninth in the race.
He finished 11th, I think.
The dangest thing I've ever seen.
We're going to stop off here at the hydration station. We'll be right back.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is Daniel Suarez, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Play the role of Don Quixote here for a moment and tilt against a popular NASCAR windmill. And that is the large group of contingent folk, mainly on the internet, where all bad things happen, that don't, for whatever reason, like Lee Diffie. One, they call him an Englishman. He is from Australia. There's a lot of difference there. I frankly enjoy Lee Diffie's commentary way beyond measure. He brings an enthusiasm to it. He is a motorsports savant, folks. This is not like a guy that you pulled out of the tater patch and said, go call a race. He knows what he's talking about. And the enthusiasm level, and also there's a freshness to it, Alexis, that I like. Yeah. The fact that he hasn't been to these racetracks 27 times, and he's experiencing something new, and you get some of that energy from it. I love it.
The word that you said there that I think resonates the most with me is the excitement. Yes. You can tell that he is pumped. He is happy. He is excited to be there.
Yeah. And I'm going to say this. When I drove for 20 or 30 years, went to the racetrack with my dad, when I went with Adam for the first few times, it was like seeing Daytona for the first time.
Right.
Seeing Ryan. And that's what I get from Lee Diffie. He's seeing our sport and seeing NASCAR for the first time.
Appreciate the fresh eyes you brought to the game, Lee. All right, for Kyle Petty, Alexis Erickson, David Stiles, Kemp Bernhardt, I'm Doug Rice. Back next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.